Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. I want to begin this morning by reading a portion of a sermon that was written and proclaimed one time. He's a well-known preacher in Texas. And this message is titled, "You Are Very Powerful." Here's a portion of what he says. "You are very powerful. What you're up against may be big, but it's no match for you. The same power that raised Christ from the dead lives in you. A power so strong that the Red Sea parted from Moses. That's the power in you. It's not ordinary. You're not ordinary. You're not common. You are powerful. How much further will you go? How much more will you accomplish if you start seeing yourself for who you really are? What barriers can you overcome? What dreams can you accomplish if you'll just get rid of the weak, defeating, I'm ordinary mentality and start seeing yourself the way God made you to be? Very powerful. You can't go around magnifying all the negative. You need to magnify what God put in you. He didn't just make you powerful. He made you very powerful. Now, you can be very powerful and cancel it all out with the wrong mindset. He went on for 30 minutes. That message. Now, normally I wouldn't include somebody else's sermon in my own, especially from somebody with such a wrong understanding of Jesus. But I feel compelled to do it this morning because the message, those words that I just read, that message is all too common in the world today. So many preachers solicit this type of message. Why? Because it brings in the crowds. Because it brings in the money. Because it sells books. Because it's a message that everybody wants to hear. Who doesn't want to believe that the success in this world and that salvation is in the next is dependent on me? That it's all in my hands. Who doesn't want to believe that with just enough faith, we can get Jesus to do our will, bring us success? It's a message that is so powerful, it draws in millions of people around the world. And it draws in these people to like Jesus. But in doing so, it pulls people away from Jesus, the real Jesus. So, when I hear the true words of Jesus, and when His message is one that contradicts so forcefully the message of these preachers, I feel compelled to respond, especially because I know people in this congregation that listen to people like this. They're attracted to that message. And so, With all of that as a backdrop, I'd like to read just a portion of the gospel passage that you just heard. Brother will deliver brother over to death, and the father his child, and children will rise against parents and have them put to death, and you will be hated for all my name's sake. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. When they persecute you in one town, flee to the next. For truly I say to you, you will not have gone through all the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes. And continuing on. So have no fear of them, for nothing is covered that will not be revealed, nor hidden that will not be known. What I tell you in the dark, say in the light. What you hear whispered, proclaim on the housetops. And do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Very different message, isn't it? Now, there's quite a bit here, so I'm just going to jump right to the point. Jesus did not receive the wrath of God on the cross so that we could live a happy, healthy, selfish life. Not at all. His death atoned for our sin. We were heading down a path that would separate us from God for all eternity. And if you want to talk about power, I'll tell you the power you had. It was none. We were completely powerless to change this outcome in any way. So I promise you, that if I was dead in my sins, and if I was unable to change the outcome in any way, the very least of my concerns would be the promotion that I might get or the money that it owes to me. That's what's dangerous about these preachers and their false messages. They cover up the reality of who we are without Christ. They cover up the reality about where we would go without His saving work, and they replace it with a message that promises no pain, no suffering, no cross to carry, and self-power. And that's how they ask us to walk through life. But our gospel passage, you heard it twice, makes reality very, very clear. Jesus has done this, not us. And what Jesus has done, He now calls you to proclaim. You're to stand on the mountaintop and shout at the top of your lungs. You are to bring the message into your homes, into your workplaces, into your community. You're to risk your reputation, your possessions, your standing in the community, even your life, for the sake of this message. But I want to pause here for just a moment. I want to make something very clear. Otherwise, I risk preaching a message as false as some of these preachers. In this passage, Jesus is not demanding this from us. He's not demanding it from the disciples either. Now, they had not yet seen Jesus handed over, tortured, crucified, died, buried, and resurrected. So we can forgive them if that's what they thought. But for us, on this side of the resurrection, we know the whole story. And so we can understand his words more completely. This is not law. It's not a command, a demand. It's a response. You see, if the reality of Jesus' work on the cross has made an impression in your heart, a real impression, if you're in your heart, you know who you are and what you deserve apart from Christ. And if you truly believe what he did, and that he did it out of the deepest love for each one of you, you can't help but announce it to the world. You can't help but stand on a mountaintop. But what Jesus tells you is when you do, you will be hated. You'll be despised. You'll be subjected to mockery, to humiliation. You may lose that chance at the promotion that you also wanted. You might even lose your life. But what you will gain is the participation in the conversion of souls. What you gain is the knowledge that you played a part in somebody's salvation. You see, it has nothing to do with the quality of your life this side of heaven. In fact, it's quite the opposite. But what you will gain when you meet Jesus face to face, when God restores a new heaven and earth, and when he walks among us, will make every trial, tribulation, worth the pain and the suffering. You might remember a coach. His name was Coach Joe Kennedy. He was a Bremington High School coach. He had committed to God at the beginning of his career that he would give thanks after every game for what the players had accomplished and for the opportunity that he had been given to pour into their lives through the sport of football. And so, 2008, first game, he goes out onto the field by himself, completely silent. He takes a knee and he prays. Over time, that was probably 15 seconds. It was nothing. Over time, some of the players noticed what he was doing and asked if they could join. And he, of course, said yes. Eventually, he would start after that, maybe giving some motivational messages, sometimes including religious content. This went on for about 7 years. When finally, that growing opposition in the district forced him out on administrative leave. Now, the lawsuit that he filed as a response would eventually make it to the Supreme Court, where he would finally be vindicated, including getting his job back. But for all those years, he would experience opposition to his faith, pressure to abandon it, at least publicly. Now, his experience, he got his job back. He won a lawsuit. He was vindicated. Has a favorable ending. But not all of them do. And in fact, even yours might not. There may be a time when you are persecuted for your beliefs. Maybe you're being persecuted right now. Don't be discouraged. This is what Jesus warns us about. It's not a surprise to him, and it should not be a surprise to us. And persecution should never cause us to question or abandon our faith. Instead, it should encourage us to proclaim it even louder, even more publicly, for we can know that we are doing the will of Jesus when the world persecutes us. But we must not let our fear of persecution dissuade us from watering down a message of Jesus to the world. We must proclaim the real Jesus. We must be truthful in our message, just as Jesus was truthful in his. Being a disciple is difficult, painful, even deadly. But it's a message worth suffering for. And it's a message even worth dying for. It was for the disciples. Is it for you? Please pray with me. Lord, you have warned us about false teachers in the world, and this morning I would pray that you would guard our hearts against them. I also pray that you would protect our thoughts and our words so that when what we proclaim is the true message of salvation and not something watered down and false. In your name we pray. Amen.